Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money?
Uh-oh, I hit the wrong button. Okay, let's see if we can start this off again. Okay, just bear with us. Chris, you there?
Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Chris. All right, I hit the wrong button here. I'm waiting for my board to come back up. Come on, Jesus. Okay, here we go. We're starting all over.
They don't have trust. They don't trust each other. No, you can't trust each other if you don't have a community.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry and put that pulls in your money and hold that money and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisoners in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics.
They're going to go after the weakest people they get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Now learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. And he messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know. He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go over on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box going to get sent back to sender. And now you're going to have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was. But I am who I am, and I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit, and it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect know-how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
You know what? I was doing a rant. And I have my phone on mute. Okay. All right. I'm off mute now. All right. So today's, we're in the new year, 2024. It's the 22nd day of January of the new year, 2024. And we put out a goal last year that we were supposed to complete or do on one particular day in last month. 2023. So I want to carry that over to this year, and I want to come up with a plan during this podcast that we can start today. Today's podcast live stream is titled Creating Wealth 781. And I'm also throwing out a Proverb 14:23. Now, let me get to 781. 781, which Delmar came up with, it means seven people, because we're talking about building off-grid tiny houses, okay? So we say if you get the formula of 781, because that's what it is, a de facto formula. You get seven friends or family within an eight-hour period of time, and at the end of that 8 hours, you got a tiny house built, all right? That's what that's about. So and in order to reach this, I guess you have to have a certain, what I'm about to announce, you have to have a certain mindset to reach it. Now, our goal for this year is to eventually build a tiny house every day. We're not there yet, but I'm figuring I want to get a jump start, so I'm putting this out this, and this is why I'm glad you called in, Chris, because I like we need a big thinker on this one, and I consider you a big thinker. Of course, anybody out there is listening, that you know, you can be a big thinker too. So, Chris, this is it. Now, this is what I know for a fact from personal experience. I know if I place an ad on Craigslist, the local newspaper, and the classified ads, put something on Facebook Marketplace, I know that I'm going to get about 50 plus responses of a person who's interested in buying that particular item. Of course, most of my stuff deals with housing, so it could be a room for rent, it could be a house for rent, or a house for sale. I know that I'm going to get at least 50 inquiries. I'll give an example. One day, and I've done this a few times, because I've been at real estate since 1983. I put an ad on Craigslist, and this is a testament to, social media and the internet. I put an ad out for a room for rent at like 2:30 a.m. in the morning. By 4:30 a.m., and I did it on Craigslist, by 4:30 in the morning, I started to get inquiries. By 8:30 that morning, I was showing the place that was available for rent. By 12 noon, I had over $1,000 cash money and had rented the place out. I've done that dozens of times, okay? eBay auctions, and we're about to start those back up again because of e-commerce. We used to do auctions on eBay, seven-day auctions, and make $5,000 in 7 days, $10,000 in 7 days, up to $15,000, $20,000 in 7 days with eBay auctions. So here's where I'm going to, Chris. Now, I know we got another caller in. Let me merge them in. All right, Chris, you still there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, wait a minute. That was Delmar. I'm going to see if I can merge him into this call so I won't have to repeat anything. Let me find interlude music. Okay, I'm waiting for the board to pop up on that. Let's see if I can add Delmar on. Oh, man. All right. Let's see if this... Okay, I had an audio that I loaded up this morning, one I hadn't played on here before, and it's not coming up for some reason in my playback. So I'm going to switch to an audio that we played last week. Because I want to actually come up with a plan during this live stream that we can act on this week based on Proverbs 14:23. My board runs kind of slow. Okay, I'm going to play this audio that I played last week. It's about 5 minutes. And then we're going to actually model that, what you're about to hear, another Steve Harvey thing, and we're going to apply it to what we're going to do according to Proverbs 14:23 starting this week. are starting now. Let's put it that way.
I got in a huge tax situation in 2008 because my divorce was in 2005, and my accountant had gotten in cahoots, and next thing you know, my accountant died, and a girl that worked for him called my lawyer and said, we have a problem. She had found on the floor all my tax forms for 7 years signed and with the checks stapled to them. So I'm thinking, I've signed and I've stapled the checks. Well, they were cashing the checks, keeping the money, and not turning in the tax form. They took the money out of the account that matched the exact, because I wasn't watching it.
So like, you could just see 100,000,
600,000 deducted.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking it's the check. Little did I know, it was some people taking the money out.
For 7 years?
For 7 years.
How much money did that?
I ended up owing $22
million. Wow.
$22 million with the penalties. So now, wow. Listen to me, man. Me and my wife in 2008, I get the call. And the way I found out was, my lawyer called me and said, hey, man, we got a problem. You haven't paid taxes in 7 years. I said, man, what are you talking about? I paid taxes. I've been writing the checks and all this here. Oh, man. He said, this woman found your taxes in your accountant's office on the floor. Every tax check I had written and every was stapled together for 7 years, quarterly taxes, all of it. So he said, man, that's tax evasion. You can go to prison. Mm-hmm. And I said, what are we going to do? So he said, hold on, man, let me get some lawyers. So he called up some tax accountants out of Chicago. These boys was the best. And they set me down and they said, man, we got a major problem. He said, I got a friend working at the IRS. Let me take the first year. We took the first year and we sent it in. And he said, man, well, this is an old tax return. He said, man, we got a problem. He got more, but he didn't know it. And so we need a tax payment plan. So the tax payment plan was so astronomical that it was no way I could pay this. So the deal was, if you miss one payment, we come and seize all your assets and you go into jail. That was the deal. So the way I found out I was in real bad trouble was, my accountants, my former manager, lawyer, got on a conference call to discuss it. But they sent out an email with the conference call number to my assistant. But it wasn't supposed to go to me. She inadvertently gave it to me. I wasn't even supposed to be on the call. So when I logged in, they were already talking, and I just didn't announce myself. And I heard them say, nobody can live under this amount of stress. There's no way he can pay the back taxes, pay his current taxes, and his living expenses. And I heard a guy on the phone say, what are we going to do when he goes to jail? And I hung the phone up. I went upstairs. I said, Marjorie, Dawson, Marjorie, we got a problem. When I explained it to her, Marjorie started crying. She sat down and cried. My wife cried for 2 straight days. She said, Steve, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to go to work. I took every comedy gig in this country. I signed every contract. I went to work, man. I worked every single Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I went to every venue, the Verizon, Staples Center, MCI, Phillips. I sold out to Fox. I went everywhere. I stayed on the radio, man. I'm coming, sold out. I never missed a payment. And for 4 years in a row, I was sending $650,000 a month to the government, plus I had to pay my current taxes. I couldn't get behind on nothing. And I was living. So I was credit cards, running them up, paying them off. And finally, man, in 2012, I sold 49% of my radio company to iHeart. Hmm. I got a check, man. I got me a check. And then
So I paid the government completely off to zero. And that was the first time, man, I could breathe. And then the pay-per-view, I said, let me get out of stand-up, because my wife said, Steve, you finna be a major TV star. You're going to have to stop telling the jokes you're telling, because you're going to ruin your career. Because she saw the political correctness turning. And so she said, Steve, you can stop if you want to. I said, baby, I can't ever stop telling jokes. It's who I am. She said, well, okay, but you got to watch what you say. And all of my TV shows are sponsor-driven. The radio is sponsorship-driven. I said, man, let me get out of this, because I need time to go do more TV. And so I did one last comedy show, but I did it on pay-per-view. And little did I know, for $8, you could watch my last show. I had no idea how many people was going to tune in for that. I made a lot of money. It was the biggest single paycheck I ever made. And next thing you know, I was back.
All right, so we want to take some action steps from the Steve Harvey thing and include it in what we're talking about. Now, I'm going to call this the holdover goal from 2023 that I'm bringing into 2024 is building 100 houses, tiny houses, to be exact. All right, so... we didn't have a written plan for that last year, but we're going to reduce one down to writing this year, and we can probably do it, have something written real simple, because simple works, and have it all done within the next 24 hours, next 12 to 24 hours, let's put it that way, the written plan, okay. And... just as a breakdown on Steve Harvey things, once again, Steve Harvey, just as a quick review, he owed $22 million, and he was put on a payment plan of $650,000 a month. All right, $650,000 a month. Although he worked weekends, I'm going to reduce that $650,000 a month. But some people don't even make in 10 years. Okay. But he had to come up, actually had to come up with more than that. That was the part of what he had to make to pay the IRS. He had to make more than that because there were more people involved. His family, his living expenses. And then nobody does anything on that scale. Or even, I'll put it this way. Nobody performs a miracle solo. You typically have a team of people to help you. Not to get religious, but Jesus had 12. If you look at all his miracles, he had 12 or more people there with him when they happened, when those miracles occurred. Some of those miracles required 12 people. Some of them required 5,000 people. But you need to have... from what I've done studies on miracles, you need a team. So $650,000 per month. Now let's break that down. That means he had to, I'm breaking it down into 20 business days. That's what you got in a month. So Steve Harvey had to make on average of $32,500 a day. Some people don't make $32,500 a year, but he had to come up with it. So did he do it by himself? No. Let's just break this down a little bit further. Now, if you go to Steve Harvey's Steve Harvey Morning Show website and you look at the stations that they're on, Steve Harvey is on 100-plus radio stations. So let's just keep that number at 100. So let's take 32,500 That's what he had to make a day, and divide that by 100 radio stations. That's $325 per radio station. Now, that's a manageable number for a human being and a business, because the radio stations all have a sales staff, and the sales staff goes out and sell commercials. And on a typical FM station, in morning drive time or afternoon drive time, depending on the market, the cost is $325 or even $300 or up as high as $400 per minute. Okay, per minute. All right. So Steve had, because in order to for the radio stations to take him on with syndication, because radio stations, they got to eat, they got to staff, they got to eat too. Everybody in the process of your plan has to get blessed financially. Else they're not going to do it. So Steve, with his morning show staff, the morning show staff is Steve and four or five people in the studios, and he has a producer. So it takes about six, besides Steve Harvey, it takes 4 to 6 other people to help produce that morning show. That's just the on-air show that the radio audience listens to. But the 100 radio stations in different markets, plus the sales staff, we don't know them, but they all help reach that goal of $325 per day. So now, that was his plan. So a lot of times what people might say, well, that's Steve. No. Steve Harvey is a man. He's not Superman. He's a man who had sense enough to organize a team or teams to help them, to help him do that. Now, I have a friend of mine, lives in Asia, and she works in a factory. They make baseball mitts, and they have teams. They have teams inside of the factory there. On her team, now, just to make one baseball mitt, there are 29, some teams have 25 people on them. Other teams might have up to 39 people on them to make a baseball mitt. But they make a number of baseball mitts each day, and, of course, then they ship them out across the world. So now what our goal is, now this is a holdover goal from last year, all right? Instead of trying to tackle 100, build 100 in one day, all right, we're going to break that down into, and I'm thinking out loud now, into, let's see, 100 houses built, tiny houses built. So let's say, twenty houses a month for 5 consecutive months. All right, that's essentially one a day. Hold it. Let me. Oh yeah, the mic's open. You know what? Before I go to anybody's comments or whatever. Oh man, I'm seeing if I can get this audio that I uploaded up just for this podcast, because you got to wrap your head around this. Steve was able to wrap his head around. He had to get his head around, how could I make $650,000 a month? He actually probably had to make closer to probably over $1 million, because once again, you know, he's got a family and this, that, other, and all, and he's got a company to run. So, all right, it is, man, it's not showing up. I don't know why it's not showing up. Okay, I guess. All right, well, that's a minor problem. All right, so, let's go with the open mic. Let's see. Chris, you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, Chris, so if you were to tackle or be a part of a team that would tackle building 20 houses, tiny houses in a month, that's essentially, now we're talking about for 5 consecutive months. That'll give us 100.
Right.
All right. That's essentially Monday through Friday, let's say taking the weekends off. That's one tiny house a day. Now, I think that's a doable number. That's a doable number based on our 7-8-1. 7 people, 8 hours could produce one tiny house. And we both know of a guy, Randy Jones, out of Eastern Tennessee. He builds 3 to 5 a day. Does he do it by himself? No. Randy has 3, he has 7 teams. No. 5 teams that I know about. 5 teams, and each team consists of 7 people. And they go from scratch to building a complete tiny house in a day. He does 3 to 5, and he's been sustaining that for well over a year. So like I said, now for what we're talking about, because we want to get off the ground this month with this, before the end of the month is out, is 20 tiny homes built per month. That gives us for 5 consecutive months, and that'll give us a 100 tiny houses built. But in the plan, I don't think that's a big goal to tackle, but we do need a plan, and it does need to be reduced down to right. So, Chris, I'm tossing the ball to you. What are your thoughts?
Okay. Now, that comes down to one house every other day.
Okay, and one house every other day. Okay.
Every other day. And that will get us through the 5 months. It'll do the 100. And it also leaves us an opening every other day that maybe we could add one. So you could reduce over the every other day scenario to having those projects to where you might have work a day, off a day, work a day, off a day. About the day, though, maybe you might be able to work 3 days in a row.
All right.
And that way we threw an extra one in.
Okay.
And if you do that every 4 weeks and every week throwing an extra in, you're gaining 4 a month. And in 4 months, you're at 16. And that's almost making up that 5th month.
No, I see what you're saying, yeah.
Just playing with the time, you know. Could have them working because those are days that people would be able to volunteer because they're not doing their 9-to-5s.
Right.
So it just kind of gives us some options out there to kind of look at what could we inspire this weekend on a 3-day build, you know.
Yeah, I'm open for weekends myself because there's a lot you can do. I mean, you can do on a weekend.
I'll tell you one thing you can do is when you get off work Friday, when you go back to work on Monday, you can make your entire life different by something you did that weekend. But not only your life, who else's life did you affect? What impact did you make? And you know, when you get 7 people multiplying that comes down to amazingness,
right? Because
you just don't know, right? But changing your whole perspective of the way you thought Thursday to the way you're going to think on Tuesday, I think it would be worth everyone to have those positive affirmations coming.
And I agree with you 1,000%. You're right. It's not going to be the same once you go experience it one time.
Correct.
You can have a serious paradigm shift just over the course of a weekend.
Over a weekend. And think about the joy that you got over that weekend. Now, you didn't have that because you weren't doing it. This is the thing. See, Steve Harvey, he didn't have the means at the time to pay that debt. But he thought outside the box and said, you know what? I don't need those 3 days off. I don't need them. And if I could put my energy toward those 3 days to everybody that would want me, we'll see what it's worth, right? And he was able to come up with this payment, this outrageous payment. And everybody said right there on the phone, he never said a word. Everybody said, what are we going to do when he goes to jail?
Right.
Now, this was somebody else's doing, right?
Right.
Somebody else
right.
done
it. The person who did it was dead. So.
Yeah, he's dead. So,
right.
You ain't going to go go back on this man, right? But it's what do I do or do I let someone else do for me and now they bringing me my meals? You know, they're serving me. I might have a job in the kitchen. You know, couldn't imagine life without Steve Harvey out here in the world because of someone that isn't on Earth anymore. But, you know, that man, he give us an opportunity to grow any way we want to and also show people that we are open doors. I'm sorry. My wife walked into the room and her phone was ringing. But yeah, go ahead. I'll mute up for a minute.
No, you there? Oh, okay. Wait for Chris to come back. All right, so we're going to come up with a plan today and start. But we have the resources, so we're going to work with what we got. Everything starts with one. This is day one. And like you said, it'll be I'm still looking for this audio because I uploaded it twice. Okay, while we're waiting for Chris to come by, Eric, let me play this, and then he should be here momentarily. Chris will play.
Well, hey, folks, and welcome to Solar Cabin Channel. I've got a neat little project for you I call the Multi-Shack. This is one of my homeless housing solutions designs. And some of you probably don't know this, but I was homeless twice in my life. The first time was when I was trying to get into college, and I had lost my job and was waiting for my college funding to come in, and so I had to live in my truck. I lived in the cab of my truck for almost 2 months while I waited for my college funding to come in. And then again later in life when I got divorced and didn't have a job and was trying to get off-grid, I lived for almost 2 years in a camp trailer. And, you know, there's a lot of people that, homeless people that have their pride. They want to maintain their independence. They don't want to live on welfare. They don't want to be caught up in the system. And, you know, all they need is a simple shelter, you know, someplace to get out of the cold, to get out of the wind, to get out of the rain, while they get back on their feet. And so I know there's a lot of organizations out there that are helping the homeless, churches, nonprofits, and things like that. So I came up with this small structure design, which I call the Multi-Shack, because it has actually multi-uses to it, and it can be built very affordably. You can build this entire shack for under $200, and it is built on wheels. It can be put on either a 4x6 trailer, or you can build it on casters. Casters are a lot less expensive, but it still allows you to move this unit around. So you could store, you know, a bunch of these on a church parking lot, and then just when you need them, you can move them out to wherever you want the person to be using them. Casters are 4-inch casters. Each caster will hold up to 240 pounds, so they'll more than handle the weight for this structure here. Now, this structure is 6'5" from the peak to the bottom, 6'5", so and even a tall person can stand upright inside this structure. The door is 1'6" wide and about 5'3" to the peak up there in the door. And the structure is 4 foot wide approximately and about 6 foot long. About 6 foot long by 4 foot wide, 6'5" to the peak. And this is constructed very inexpensively from 2x4 framing, which I'll show you, and uses, I would use 7/16 OSB or plywood. Either one would work for the siding on this. Now, a couple of the features here. I show this with dorm windows. The dorm windows are actually optional. You don't have to put dorm windows. You can just go with a flat roof surface if you want here. I show this with wood shingles, or you could use just plain old tar paper and roofing shingles. Any type of roofing shingles would work on this. Show it with a little flower box there just for effect. And on the backs and the front, I show this with these round windows, like boat-style windows, or you could...
Well, I was on mute, but I can hear you.
Okay, wait a minute. All right, Delmar, you there? Okay. Chris, yeah. You back? Okay, Chris, right, not me back yet. All right, well, okay, while we're waiting for Chris to come back, Delmar, any comments?
Let's see. I like Chris' analysis there, where, yeah, he's breaking down the simple terms, and when you keep that kind of in your mind, that's the way you have to work with. I think it'd be easier for you to learn that, so I like the way you did that.
Yeah, he broke it down to one every other day, and then for those who are up for it, those weekends is when you can really get ahead of the game, get ahead of things on weekends.
Mm-hmm.
So when he comes back, we'll have
him. Yeah, I'm back,
brother. All right. So, Chris, I can't find that audio. Anyway, I guess that audio is not supposed to be played today. So, yeah, what I would like to do is come up with a simple plan, because we're talking about five consecutive months, based on what you said, that we can build one every other day, and on weekends we can probably double up on things.
Yeah, and see, when you do something every other day, we're talking about a work week of seven, right? Well,
right.
Seven's the odd number, but it gives you the third day. So when you're doing it, it adds a day, or it adds a build to your week,
mm-hmm.
by doing it every other day. But it also gives you a little time to plan. And you're probably working that other day, but you're not working on that. You're working on the setup of that, maybe. You know, that preparation of getting off work and not having to rush back and be there in the morning to finish something or to start something new, giving you that little leeway, I think, would just reprieve a lot of things and a lot of people, you know, if you tried to do this project on your own. Because we do want to encourage others, right,
to
get out there and do this. It's that's our impact. Not
right.
That we're building 100 of them. We want to see that tenfold. So that means there'll be 1,000 built. Now, how many people are benefiting in that 1,000 and that aren't now, and how many will? Because they could be Airbnbs, they could be, you know, a room to rent, you know. But it would be more than a room, wouldn't it? You know, if you advertise that, you know, I thought about that when you said it earlier. I'm like, man, if you advertise these as a room or a studio for rent, now you're talking, it could be a business, and people will rent those. They always need space, but
right.
Having something unique. Now, we were talking about doing the 60-square-footer. I've been thinking about it. I wanted to discuss it. And
that's not the only model, Chris. That's not the only size.
It's not.
I just threw that out there as something that would be easy to start with. That was
one of the things I wanted to throw out, that if we did one that was around 85 to 100, okay, leaves that margin. But just making that 85, we could make a bathroom. So
the diagram, you know, the overheads you sent me like yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. That was for a 400 square footer.
Oh, okay. And we can still do that. Matter of fact, you know what? Hold that thought for a moment. I was talking to a high school friend of mine this morning, and something that you said we got to think outside the box as we reach this goal of 20 a month, for five consecutive months. Is if we look at I mean, we're in 2024, so it's no big deal to think about indoor plumbing. You know, you can be in your house, your studio, your mansion, or whatever. If you want to go to the bathroom, use the toilet, it's in the house for your convenience.
Correct.
But if you think about the early presidents of the United States, maybe the first 15 or 16 of them, there was no plumbing as we know it in the White House. George Washington had to go to the outhouse.
That's
true. The president of the United States had to go to the outhouse, which was out of the White House. Either that or use a chamber pot, which is a pot that they pooped in. Probably
right.
Made out of pork. Then one of the servants had to, you know, empty it out and clean it out and all that. Gross job. But so, but somebody, some plumber or somebody along the line was thinking outside the box and said, well, why don't we move the outhouse into the house? Now, that's the new idea back then, whoever thought it up. That was a new idea, and I know they caught hell from the peanut gallery. So, wait, you going to move the shitter in the White House? Are you crazy? You know the haters and the catcalls came out on that. But
you know,
somebody eventually did it, and then it caught on. And I'm not saying the White House was the first one where it went from the outhouse, but I'm just saying. That's the concept. So we might have to come up, because once again, I'm talking about, and I think this is a much lower bar to the cross than, because we're not talking about the Steve Harvey thing, but I just put that out there. Now, if Steve Harvey can do that, the man that was homeless for 3 years, the man who slept in his car for 3 years, who had to come up with over $650,000 a month, and he did that for a little bit over four years. With what Chris brought up there, all right, I'll put the goal out there, 20 a month, all right? And then every other day, I think that's a very doable thing using the 781 format. Anyway, I have to throw in the outhouse thing because it's, I mean, one more thing, I'll get off my soapbox. Apple Computers, Steve Jobs. If I don't know the ages of people in this audience, but I remember the first calculator I got was in ninth grade, and it was a plain Jane calculator back in 1972 or three, something like that, and it just had the four functions and square root. There was no such thing in the vocabulary of humans on the planet at that time as a smartphone, not even a flip phone, okay? But Steve Jobs or whoever, whatever, was thinking outside the box and said, well, what if we can put a phone inside of this calculator? Somebody, once again, the peanut gallery is always out there saying it can't be done. And then another person thought about, well, what if we put a typing keyboard or word processor inside the phone? Once again, but now we have more technology in our hands right now. I know I'm on this podcast with a smartphone and a laptop. We're all connected to the internet. We have more power in our hands than most presidents of the United States who sat in office right here in this country. We have the technology
that's
right here.
That's
all right. So knocking out 20 houses, and Chris already, I'm shutting my mouth, putting tape over my mouth, I'm zipping my lip. Chris, you had the mic.
You know, it is possible. And the thing is if you have to see it to believe it, go to Horse Creek Haven on YouTube and look at the first tiny house built on LaSalle Street right in front of City Hall in Chicago. And it was just to get people to understand that, and they don't, and you won't know. If I don't tell you the story behind that, you're not going to know that those are three people that I met that day. They've never touched that material in their life. And that trailer was bought sight unseen. And it was set up in 15 minutes on the street once they had the components built. And it took them 2 hours to build those. And I had to cut every piece of material so that it would fit the trailer. the thing you don't know is that material was a tiny house that a 13-year-old and a 16-year-old built for the first time in 2.5 hours in Bloomington, Illinois, 4 years ago. But the city had asked me to come and show them and give them a presentation to end their immigration and their homeless problem. Now, that was before the cold set in. And the thing about it is it's they've multiplied big time. There's a lot more than what there was. And they're asking for this thing to get moving. But it was how they did not react, okay? If you watch the video, are you going to react to what I just told you? Two kids built it the first time. Three adults built it the second time. I brought it back to Bloomington and took it apart and built it again on another trailer and redesigned it for the third time. That tells you, okay, it is, you can build it permanent, you can build it impermanent. And the thing about it is you can turn it into something else. You don't have to continue to have what you have. You can upgrade, and you can build on. This is the difference of what do you have now and what could you have. And there is a perfect example in one of our audios that go on the show that a man built something for himself to get himself started. Oh, show's about to get done.
No. I'm extending the time. Go ahead, talk.
Okay. Yeah. You know, he built a cabin. He tells you how much he had in it. He tells you everything about it. And he don't have any bills. He spends about $200 a year in fuel. Well, we now have energy. So we can come to your community, supply it with green energy, lease the land from you, and bring $600 to $2 million a year to your community for these projects so that we can fix the problems by not ignoring them, by just getting involved in them. These houses are just a start. There's so much that gets talked about on this Earthwell show. And it's also about, you know, doing it yourself. And I think everybody needs, you know, to have their little dimmer switch turned on. We're not going to make everybody brilliant overnight, right? But when your light is finally lit and you don't have to have that trigger to turn it on, you're going to go to bed anticipating waking up in the morning because you're going to do something that's going to be amazing, that's going to change your life and somebody else's. That's the inspiration behind let's, you know, it's taken us a year of talking to be to the point now to where we can actually do it. But you know, there was a lot of talk that wasn't empty because now there's action. But it does take action behind those words. And, you know, I'm grateful, you know, just to have the opportunity to bring it to people and give you visuals of it. Because these builds, you know, we should be videoing all of them, and they should be on YouTube as the inspiration showing you what you can do. Because you can build it in your park, in your driveway, in a parking lot, in your yard, in someone else's yard. It's the fact of will you, and what will it do by you doing so. Don't try to just impact yourself. See what impact you do around you when you do these things. And it's mainly showing our children that they are the solution to every adult's problem as they're inheriting every one of them.
Right.
This is about, it's about showing our kids what they can do. But when they do it, and they might come in and say, hey, come see what I did today. Get off the couch. Go and see what they did today. But it's not what you're going to see. It's what they're going to say. Because they're going to say, you can come do it with them tomorrow or the next day. You know, that's the... Go ahead. I'll let you get back at it, brother.
Now, okay. I added an hour on to the clock. So we're good on time. Okay. The what is some of the things? Well, let me. I'll start off. Now, to break this goal down even further, and let's reduce it down to one location and one team. Once again, we're basing on 7-8-1. Okay, seven. Well, first thing, no matter what the location, we have to have a boots on the ground location. So these 20 houses might be built, and more than likely they will be built in different locations. So we're going to have to all right, here's one way to do it. Based on 7-8-1, because 7 represents 7 people, but it could also represent 7 locations. So now I'm here in Central Florida, Central and North Florida, okay, because on my back, my Florida room, that's my de facto factory here where I can make stuff. And then 3 hours away, we have the 4 acres. But let's just count me as just one person, Florida. All right. We're looking for 6 other locations where we can get at least one boots-on-the-ground person so they can oversee things in that neck of the woods. So, Chris, any suggestions or Delmar?
Yes. Yep, there's somebody that's in your call log right now.
Okay.
He's probably got the prefix of 612.
Okay, yeah, I see him. Well, then I'll open up his mic. I'll open the mic. Okay,
sure,
that's up in Minnesota, I believe.
Yep, that's in Minnesota.
Okay. All right, his mic is open.
Hello, how are you there? There you go. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right.
Well, you just heard him, and we're looking for 6 other locations to work on 20 houses to build. And I wanted to see about getting something in your area because of the strengths that we already have there.
Yeah, we could.
It's cold up there.
We could be a part of that movement and help you here in Minnesota. I know some particular outreaches in Mississippi, South Carolina, Georgia, and a project that we're working on in Virginia.
Yes,
all right, well, that's good. All right, so let's say Florida, Minnesota. Chris, you're in Illinois right now, right? But you
yes.
But you travel a lot, though.
Yeah.
Oh, but you know what? Between the two of us, we do have people boots on the ground in Chicago. And speaking of Chicago, Delmar, are you there?
Yes.
Could we do something in Memphis?
Yes.
Okay, Memphis, Minnesota, Florida,
Chicago.
Illinois, that's 4 states.
And
we need 3 more.
Mississippi, Virginia.
Okay.
And I would like West Virginia, just because we got such a big thing that's happening in West Virginia. So put it for West Virginia, and see if we can't locate something there.
Okay, hold on.
Yes,
let me take out my notes here.
The West Virginia and the Virginia project are 2 different projects, and we can include both of them.
Yeah, I was thinking 2 different projects, just one of them being in Virginia, one of them being in West Virginia.
Well, that's just 2 different states. That's all I was adding.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, no problem. Okay, we have – oh, I need to put this on my laptop. With bullet points on it. Let's see. Where is it? Oh, here it is.
You got boots on the ground in New York also.
New York State?
3 cities in New York.
Let's see.
Okay.
Are you still?
Okay, we have. All right. Okay, here we go. We got Florida.
I don't know what that background noise is, but there's.
Yeah, I don't know what it is either. Minnesota. Or do we say Illinois?
Yes. I have 8.5 acres in right outside Chicago that we can start building on immediately.
Okay, Illinois, let's see, Mississippi.
Georgia. If we ain't said it, we might as well say it because we got a lot of things going in Georgia, a lot of support, a lot of people.
Georgia. What let's see, Florida, Minnesota, Illinois, Mississippi, Georgia. Oh, West Virginia.
West Virginia and Virginia.
Okay. Now, what we're going to need, we're going to need names by these locations.
Yeah, that's fine.
For it to be an effective plan, right? So, all right, there.
We could probably, like in Virginia, they're the people that I'm connected with in Virginia are connected all through the states, in every state. They got people in every state. They have money in every state, and they also have land, and they want to kick this thing off. They really want to. And so that one can actually spur into our multiplicity off this first move. And, you know, I could put Brother Grayson, you could put his name next to that.
We got Delmar with Memphis.
I'm sorry, Bill. And following up with your plan here, from what you just spoke about, Florida, Georgia,
yeah,
Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm in Florida.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, Florida,
that.
Minnesota, Illinois, Mississippi, Georgia, West Virginia, Virginia, and Memphis, Tennessee. That's what we got.
And
we're going to need is a person. We're going to need a contact person in each one of those locations. Boots on the ground. Like, I'm boots on the ground here in Florida. Delmar's boots on the ground in Memphis.
And I'd be...
Minnesota, you're in... Chris is in Illinois. And now, what's your name in Minnesota again? Who's our Minnesota person? Name?
Yeah, it's
Shorter.
Name. Shorter.
Repeat that again.
Shorter. S-H-O-R-T-E-R.
Oh, Shorter. Okay. All right. Got it. All right. So we got right. We got
Melvin in Mississippi.
Melvin in Mississippi.
And Melvin's an amazing man. And when you meet him and what his abilities are, you're going to like it.
Right. And now, you know, I got some land out in Texas.
It's Texas.
Far west Texas. But I got to find somebody that is close by. Because this is about an hour away from the Mexican border. And it's desert and mountains, but we can do what we want to do out there, though, but.
Right.
Okay, I'm just putting Texas.
Is there anything else around there? Any, or is it just
Well,
all...
it's an hour away. No. It's like two and a half hours away from El Paso. It's about 50 minutes away from the Mexican border. Where you can cross over, you know, and it's well, a county or two counties over is Jeff Bezos. He's here with that, whatever his space company is.
Yep, SpaceX.
It's yeah, SpaceX. All right, well.
How far did you say that was away?
From what?
How far away was SpaceX?
It's about, oh, I can look it up now. SpaceX. Let me see. SpaceX. That's the launch pad, you know. Let's see, location. Oh, wait a minute. All right, that's the one. All right, who owns it? I thought it was Bezos that owns. Does he own SpaceX or is that Musk?
That's Elon Musk, I think.
Okay, wrong company. What's the one that Bezos owns? Because that launch pad is in Texas.
I ain't even sure.
Jeff Bezos.
I don't think Bezos owns it.
Yeah, well, hold it. He's got a space company. Oh, Blue Origin. That's it. Blue Origin is located in the launch pad. Where is it? Blue Origin launch pad. Let's see what that is. Origin. Okay. Blue Origin facilities. Private, let's see. Blue Origin, Texas. Okay. Oh, Van Horn. Okay. Van Horn, Texas. I used to own some land in Van Horn, but anyway. Van Horn, Texas. Texas to Manfred, Texas. Okay, it's 1 hour and 4 minutes away. So my 10 acres is 1 hour and 4 minutes away from Van Horn, Texas, where Blue Origin, the launch pad is. And, all right, you got, from my location, 50 minutes in one direction, you got the Mexico border. And then 1 hour away, you have the Blue Origin Space Center. And I know if you keep going west, you're going to El Paso, Texas, which is nice. And if you're going to New Mexico, Las Cruces, White Sands National Park, that's a pretty cool place to hang out. Sand dunes, because it's Texas is interesting. West Texas is a pretty interesting part of Texas to be in. So, all right. Well, now, let's see. The first thing, all right. Now, once they're built, they need to go someplace. So, I'm thinking, now what I'll be doing, because people can do this differently wherever they are, we're just thinking open thought thinking here, is I know in Florida we can get the, and probably even West Virginia, we can probably secure land that they can, once they're built, they can legally go on those, or
some people might decide to form a community, and, you know, everything built is right within that community. And, you know, if you got seven people all helping each other build houses in that particular geographical location, then, you know, you got a small community of seven households on whatever amount of acres of land.
Yeah, I mean, we know that model's already worked because they're doing it
right.
In Freedom, Georgia, right? 19 families
right.
Come together.
Yeah, 19 families came together, and they got, now this one original 96 because they're up to 502 the last time I spoke to them, which was a year ago this month. Each family got bare minimum 2 acres, you know, which, I mean, that's 2 football fields. That's a lot of land. So, but, you know, I guess we can adjust for whatever situation is per, you know, whatever. So right now we've got one, his names to go by these places, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We got 5 out of that. And what I would like to do, because I don't know what everybody's schedule is, if we give people a few hours to marinate on this, think on this, and then we come back to, well, you know what, let's utilize the time right now since we're all here. Or we got the general locations right now as far as states go. Next question is, yes,
maybe
seven.
The town.
No. Let's go with, all right, out of the 7 people, what type of skill sets would we need? Would we need 7 skilled people? Would we need 1 person that's skilled and then the rest help? You know, what do you suggest?
Well, you know, you never want to say you don't need skilled people, but there's a lot of unskilled people. And what I would suggest, pairing 1 person with a skilled person or 2 people with a skilled person.
Okay.
So that they're not 3 blind mice, you know? And after you do the first one, of course, the second one's going to get easier. The third one will, the fourth one, the fifth one. And you can start to take those people that are doing those projects and now they become the trainers. And you bring in the new ones, you know, where that split is. The second we start to divide, we're going to start to solve the problems. But it's putting those, it only takes about 3 of those houses for someone to be able to show someone what to do.
Okay. Here's one way to have, I guess, build dates. Delmar, are you still there?
I'm here.
Yeah. Delmar, put up, you know, everybody's heard of the concept. Your idea was having a tailgate party, which can be we can also use that as a way of building as well.
A tailgate for building?
Well, a tailgate, because, yeah.
I thought, wait a second here. Give me Brian, think. When I think about tailgate, I think about pick up trouble with the gate down with something on the back of you, sell it or something. Get that, you mean?
All right, hold it. Wait a minute. Let me pull up a short audio, and then I'm gonna ask that question. People's mind will be. Okay, I'm gonna come back and answer everybody that question in a minute. Just listen to this.
I say some shit to y'all that I seen yesterday that made me smile, but it hurt me to my heart. There's a house next door to me that's been abandoned, and the yard, the grass high as hell and everything. There's a couple of abandoned cars out there beside the house. Well, yesterday I get off work about 7 o'clock. A Mexican guy pulled up. He said, "These your cars?" I said, "No." He said, "I just bought this house, man." I said, "All right, that's what's up." He was like, "You know whose cars these is?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, I bought the house, not the cars." Okay, I'm like, cool. I'm thinking he's just coming to look at the house. I go back in the house, do a little straighten up. I swear to God, I walk back out the house. Now, I'm getting off about 7:20. It's fucking 9 Mexican trucks just pulled up. They got fucking beer, lights, and shit, right? So I'm like, what y'all finna do? He said, "We finna fix this house." I said, "What kind of crew you got working after 7 o'clock? He said, "These my friends." The fucking house is fixed this morning. They went in there and drywalled that fucking house. I just left out of there. It was a fucking abandoned house. That bitch looked new this morning. Whew. It was an abandoned fucking house. And it looked new this morning. It's an old African proverb. Many hands make light work. I just don't think they're better than us. I just think we won't do nothing together. Wow. You're not hearing what the fuck I'm saying. It was an abandoned house yesterday at 7:15. That bitch is new this morning. He bought a tax lien house. I can't wait to see what they do. I can't wait to see, is one family going to live in there? Is they going to... I'm going to get to know the motherfuckers. You best believe me, when I make some money, I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring us together. And I'm not fucking with a lot of people.
Okay, now, here's my vision on that. I'm going to come back to you guys dumber on that. 9 pickup trucks, I figure each one of those pickup trucks had at least 2 people in there, the driver and one other person in there. That's 18 people. So imagine, instead of, you know, because tailgates, you might go to a football game or some type of sporting event or concert like that. So this type of tailgate, this is just one particular strategy, have a tailgate to build a tiny house. Delmar, what do you think about that?
I must confess, I had not made the tailgate connection to that though. I didn't think about that at all. Of course, tailgate is pickup trucks, so that is a connection. If everybody got anything on the back of the truck, you can work on the back of the truck and do anything you're going to do.
Right.
That's the only connection I get. I haven't thought about that one.
Right. Yeah, cause I got a friend of mine. He's a big, he's a pro football fan of the, they call them the Washington Commanders now. He used to be formerly Washington Redskins, but he's a season ticket holder. And although he has tickets to go inside the stadium, he spends a considerable amount of time tailgating. I mean, he's out in the parking lot, so he hooks up with friends that he sees them, you know, just during football season, but they bring out their grill and hot dogs, hamburgers, whatever they're going to eat, alcohol, whatever you have you. So I'm figuring this could be a strategy based on whatever the boots on the ground person wants to organize. Sort of make it a social event. Once again, that's just one strategy of putting together, you know, a house within a matter of, you know, hours. Chris, what do you think?
I agree 100%. You know, and just bringing it into the football aspect, you got to look at what, you know, we got to kick off right here, you know, the Pro Bowl. I got a venue that you could go and build one of these, maybe two, maybe three.
Mm-hmm.
You could probably involve the people that are there and around the venue during the Pro Bowl right there in Orlando.
Right.
Now, I have a venue on Las Vegas Boulevard during the Super Bowl, and we could really launch this thing to be a tailgater and also have it to where every one of them that are built, you know, you need to understand, these can be put right on a trailer, right from where they're at, and hauled to anywhere.
Right.
So that, you know, and when we start talking about the auctions, the eBay auctions.
You know what? I'm glad you brought it up, Chris. We can, because I'm tired of playing my old stuff, we can start making our own videos of these events, and then we can play that back so I don't have to play this old stuff no more. But the bill can be an event that can be streamed, live streamed, and in which they can be go through, what do you call it, Facebook Live, Facebook Marketplace, eBay Auction. We can do a live auction. And people actually see us build from start to finish during a live stream and bid on it. That's another way to do it. But if you do it with a festive event, or maybe, I just thought of something, we even do it at a flea market. That's food for thought. But the tailgating would be just a marketing strategy.
A marketing strategy. But we, like I said, we're launching this right now, and we could get some nice publicity toward the initiative of fixing problems that we can't see because we're not everywhere. But the people
right.
that come to these events come from everywhere.
Right.
And that's the what they leave with. Not only did they watch the impactful game, but they saw something impactful outside. Their next time they want to be involved. They found out a way they could be. You know, just having them little triggers so people can the QR codes or something. Somebody take a picture of what's going on or look at one of our posters that are up on the wall. And they take a picture of it. Now they know how they can get involved. They know the locations. They know some dates. Because if we did work it out, you know, working with these sports teams and it not just be with the NFL, but go to the basketball, go to these other events too. And the one thing about, you know, we got to think about what do players – you know, what are they? They are the role models for the youth and stuff to look up to, what they want to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll get behind this because every one of them live in cities with problems. But now they can actually be part of the solution by just doing what they do every day, but having something and an opening for someone else to be able to change.
Right.
And, you know, that's we could even take our K-12 education program and have it on a poster, have the college on the poster and do this stuff online. You know, you can be able to come to one of our campuses, but it's more to the point of opening the door, be able to go
okay.
and partner with other colleges to get these in your city because you all have colleges around you guys. So might not be super close, but they're pretty close. And just offering these new concepts to the way we can sustain life on planet Earth. We gotta change what we've done in the past 100 years during the Industrial Revolution and start to repair it. Now, I like the football thing.
Tailgating.
The tailgating, you know. And the fact that the doors opened up for us to actually do something to two major events at the end of the season. That means next season there's an opening, right? That's we build up to that now. But we're at the end of the season, and they're saying, look what we're getting involved in. You know, look what is around us now and what is going to be in your city because most of these teams are from the States here, right, that fill up all 50 of them. So some of them have more. And it just comes down to the sporting the rule, right? We always talk about rural area, rural land, and what earth wealth is and what's under your feet. And this is stuff that's all right here in our foundation of us starting out and places and people that we're able to go and see and make an effect. So I think it's a great idea. We ought to really work on the relationships and what we have out there, like your friend up there in Washington, because I have, you know, we have semi-pro games too.
Okay.
Now the semi-pro games are, and they're pro, but they're arena football.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think of Kurt Warner, he went from arena football to a Super Bowl champion. So it is a stepping stone. It's an opportunity for a door to open that wasn't open during the draft.
Right.
But go ahead.
Okay, I got the Tennessee Titans connected. My son lives for 10 years, so I'm ready for that. We got that door connected down here.
Okay. I'm thinking now, what I'm going to do on my end is, okay, and I'm going to include the original four in this. Let's see. I'm going to set a date. But tomorrow morning when we do our start time here, I'll have something posted on our Facebook page, which is BIY, which means build yourself, BIY Shacks. That's our Facebook page. I'll have that posted in the morning. And let's see if we can use that as a template. Put it this way. Now, for people that we've already named, here's what I got. Here's the general state locations, because we got to figure out what city was in these states. We got 10, I've listed 10 with a possible 11. Okay. We got Florida, Minnesota, Illinois, Mississippi, Georgia, West Virginia / Virginia. I count them as one. Memphis, Tennessee, Texas, Arkansas, which I didn't mention before, Arkansas. Now, here's the reason why Arkansas and Indiana, and Ukraine. Let me explain Arkansas and Indiana. In our seven, I figure we have a boots-on-the-ground contact in Arkansas that they deal with getting returning citizens, ex-offenders, ex-convicts, whatever you want to call them. She helps them get jobs. And she says one of the major hurdles besides them getting jobs is getting an affordable place to stay after they get released. So I'll be contacting her because that'll be a good – that state would be a good boots-on-the-ground location. Also, Indiana, that's another place where the guy, Pastor Parter, he deals with he actually teaches people how to renovate houses, but we're going to get into the tiny house building thing with him. And then I have as a question mark, and we discussed this earlier, but there right now in the United States, in many of your, sanctuary cities, you have Ukrainians, Venezuelans, people from Syria, people from, Mexico, Central America, that they're in the United States. So they're here basically many of them are here to work because the dollar multiplies when they send it back home or what have you. So the opportunities I can imagine, I mean, you can literally probably set up a Ukrainian village, Venezuela. I mean, it's that market. I mean, New York City has over 100,000. I don't know how many are from Chicago. But I think it's an opportunity. I think it's an opportunity. So by 10:30 tomorrow morning, we'll have here's the thing. Wherever you're at, think about what six people can you that might be interested in helping you out. They don't have to have any skill set or what have you. They just have the desire if they want to help out. So if you can think of six other people in your neck of the woods, all right, I know of one about an hour away from me in Orlando. After I get off this call, I'm going to call her up and draft her. So, because she's been out to our location up north. So by tomorrow morning, if you can come up with one person, and if at all you can come up with one person, that's okay. All right, because it's everything starts with one. And we're going to have, you know, one of these events, one I do will probably be the very first one. So, but the goal is to average 20 houses a month and roll it into five consecutive months. And from that point on, it'll probably go, you know, keep on going from there. We just got to build up the traction. But it's January, so we want to, you know, while we got the energy up, get things going. So, Chris, anything you want to add on?
Are you about to close the show, Bill?
In about 5 minutes.
Okay, so we have land that we can use right now. You said that
okay.
You needed a place to put. You said you needed a place to put the houses as we build them. So if we're building the houses, we have places to put them. We have empowerment villages to build. We have structures to build out. So I don't. So what we're going to need is we're going to need to solve transportation and distribution issues for the properties, unless we're going to build exactly there where we have boots on the ground at. So. That's the step that we need to be trying to come forward for, because what you just said is already done.
Okay.
What we need is where are we going to put the houses? What's going to be the first place? We got a project in Illinois, got 88 acres and 18 acres. We have a project in Mississippi. We have 75 acres. We have projects in Virginia that's 1,000 acres. We have a project in West Virginia that's 800 acres. I have projects here in Minnesota that's 5,000 acres. So the land is already there, bro. How are we going to get the houses there?
Good. Well, we're going to build them. All right. I'll speak from my location. I'm going to use my model as this. Build, and then people are either going to stay there, or if we have small ones, we'll build them. Because what we're going to do is as we build them, now this is just for the model I'm doing. We're going to build them and then live stream and then sell them to people that want to buy them.
Okay, bro.
That's what we're doing on our end.
But in the properties where we have land and we're trying to go right now, tomorrow, tonight, what are we going to do?
Well, how do you guys want to – do you want to build it and have it stay there or build it and sell it?
Well, we're trying to build a village right there on 18 acres or 8 acres, so we need to build on that.
Okay, well – yeah, all right. Now, if you want to build it on that 18 acres, then that whatever group of people that you have up there, because, you know, when it gets to that type of thing, and I don't know the rules and regulations up there, when I do stuff like that, it's completely off grid. So we don't need municipal, no type of municipal services.
Okay.
But you guys might want to have municipal services.
No.
All right, so you don't want to tap into the municipal services at all? Everything's off grid, plumbing, everything?
No, what's next, bro? We have some boots on the ground. If we're going to plan something to do, this is it. Let's work immediately. We got 18 and 8 acres right now. So we need to come up with a distribution plan on either building the homes on there. We need our builders to come together. We can get people. We can get kids. We can get youth. We can get a community to get in behind what we're doing. But you're saying.
Oh, you went out at the end. Say that again, the last part. I got shorter. I got your number. I'll give you a call. All right, this call just dropped off. Okay, I'll give him a call later because the first step is organize your 7 people. So you'll know what's going on, boots on the ground. Or if they don't live in the area, they need to be included on what's going on in that neck of the woods. All right, so I'll call him later today on that. I have his number. Chris, you there? Or?
Because the show should have ended.
No.
No, we're still here.
We're still here. We just lost you for a moment. But once a certain time, you can't call back in. So now you're on. You're on my line.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Oh. All right.
So, yeah.
But Chris, did you mention you had a talk show in the morning or something like that?
No, I don't. No, I do. I do a lot of consulting with different strategies in the NFT and crypto space.
Okay. All right. Well, let's.
Can we do something as far as trying to get some builders to participate on the land in Illinois? There's 18 acres and 8 acres there. They're looking for immediate action. The one in Virginia is looking for immediate action also. So we can.
All right,
the
one in Illinois, I know some people up there. I can make some calls today for that.
Okay.
And, man, well, Chris knows one of the people, Reba. So I'll call her and then get back to you this by the evening time on that.
Okay. Now we can't get boots on the ground quick enough in Virginia because of our prior commitments for the Super Bowl and the Pro Bowl commitment.
Uh-huh.
But if there's a way for us to unite or bring up a cavalry to go into Virginia and start putting some things together, that's an immediate action place also.
Okay, I'm not going to – I can probably suggest some people from Virginia, I don't – I might know somebody, but nothing pops off the top of my head. So, that's all I got from now. I'll check with my person in, Illinois, Chicago, actually. So,
okay.
And then I've got your number. I'll put it in my phone, and then I can find out more because you got stuff ready. And what part of Minnesota is this land in?
It's several different owners, but it's stretched out through central Minnesota, northern Minnesota, and southeastern Minnesota, southwestern Minnesota.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, I'll give you a call. What's the best time to call you? Like after 4 o'clock your time.
Anytime.
Okay. All right. I'll give you a call on that. All right, well, we'll be back here tomorrow morning. We'll probably have at least one plan complete by then. And, like I said, I'll call you this evening. Chris, you still there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Chris, anything you want to say to wrap it up for today?
Look excited as here we are launching something to get done, and I look forward to what's gonna, the happening after the every other day. You know, when we start hearing on the show about what happened yesterday, it's going to be amazing, and I'm going to love it, and I'm looking forward to it. Just looks like we got a lot
now,
of
every other day, that seems, that's reasonable. That way it's not nobody's rushed.
Right.
Okay, talk to you guys later.
All right, bro.
Thanks, Mr.